Hi, I'm Ryan Meeks, and after years of trying to make life work as a struggling artist, independent filmmaker, and musician, I thought to myself, hey self, wouldn't it be helpful to ask other artists how they're finding their path in this world? And so now, that's exactly what I'm doing on a bi-weekly basis. Welcome to The Path of Art. All right, welcome to The Path of Art. Today on our show, we have my brother, John Meeks.
Hey.
So we're going to have a bit of a different show today. Usually we're talking with established artists that have, found their way. And Sean, my brother, and I, we have a lot in common. We're both artistic people, and we're always trying to figure out, how to make it work,
Oh, yeah.
And so Sean has some projects going on. Could you tell me about your projects that you have?
Yeah. So Gardens of Eden is the metalcore project. It's a band, kind of. I call it a duo because it's just me and Levi. But that's what I would like to consider closer to. There's going to be a lot more melodies and pretty harmonies and stuff into that genre, whereas deathcore is going to be kind of more in your face and aggressive. Not very many singing parts, but there's also still melodies, and they're just kind of darker.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different genres of metal.
Yeah.
I mean, I got into thrash metal with Metallica and Megadeth, and then I like some Swedish metal, but even then, I don't think they would be referred to as Swedish metal. They probably have their own genres.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about metalcore and deathcore? Those.
Yeah, totally. So core is kind of its own subgenre on itself. Core refers to specifically metal that has lots of breakdowns, so lots of slower pace, and it opens up for live performance. Like a lot of people in Salt Lake love a good breakdown in their music, so core is very popular out here. But that is pretty much what makes metalcore metalcore, is just the fact that it has breakdowns.
So it's metal, and then it has a bunch of breakdowns.
Yeah.
And so those are like spots in the music where it kind of like the pace changes, right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. It goes from, it could be, 225 BPM and then drop way down, slowed down just with the timekeeping on the cymbals and whatnot. But
okay. And then so I guess deathcore would be death metal.
Yes.
With lots of breakdowns.
Yep.
Okay.
That's exactly nailed
So death metal is the rah, 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 that type of stuff. Yeah. You can do these. Yeah. I never learned to do that. So that's pretty awesome.
That's like a weird tunnel throat kind of pig squeal.
Well, there's all kinds of different like screams in this kind of music.
Yeah. If you want to give you a couple examples.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay. So my lows are kind of a little different, but they're like a mid low that I usually go to for most stuff, but it's, and you see like the change in my mouth position will also kind of change the tone or the pitch of what it is that I'm doing. Whereas then there's highs, which I have a few different highs. My normal one, which a lot of people in Salt Lake area or Salt Lake County would know me from, is modeled after a guy named Mitch Lucker. But his highs are very, very high and gritty. So they go, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And then there's...
Yeah, you can really see, like, how you're changing, like, your tongue. Like, it seems to, like, it makes, like, less space in your mouth when you're doing the higher ones.
And it messes with the resonance of the inside of your mouth. And you can, just manipulate the crap out of everything with it.
That's cool.
There's some screamers who don't use their tongue at all. They have it open, and it sounds breathier to me, and I'm not a fan of it, but it's a...
Oh, okay. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. You mentioned Gardens of Eden. What's the other projects you were referring to?
So Sinners is the deathcore project, and that one is just me. I do everything in it, drums, the guitar. I write the lyrics, I perform it and record it, and then I submit it. And then the other project that I mentioned, the lo-fi hip-hop beats, is kind of a newer genre. It's essentially just a repetitive beat over repetitive instrumentals, and then a lot of it is brought down into like lo-fi filters. They use a lot of heavy tape saturation, things like that, to give it like an old-timey feel. And that's kind of, yeah, just when I feel like doing
kind of like you're listening to cassette tapes or a record or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to emulate that and, yeah, make it just feel real kind of warm.
Okay. So cool. So how long have you been at it? How long have you been at this?
As far as the actual official projects go, I started doing Sinner stuff back in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I do it steadily, but it's kind of here and there. Gardens of Eden has been more schedule-based. Mm-hmm. Like, we actually have deadlines that we set for each other with that, whereas Sinner is kind of just freelance. So been doing those two projects for, what would that be, 5 years? Mm-hmm.
Cool. And so with these projects, what are your aspirations with them?
I think, honestly, my personal biggest aspiration with them is just being heard. Mm. I just want to make people feel. Right. I enjoy the process, and I enjoy putting the time and effort into doing these things.
It's kind of a connecting type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Where you're putting a lot of emotion out there and you're hoping to reach people that understand.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly on the T. So, yeah.
So, what are some of your songs about?
Actually, a lot of them are about dealing with emotional trauma. And like a big subject that I find recurring in Gardens of Eden stuff is just general depression. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say necessarily dealing with it, but like having that outlet to vent to, mm-hmm. and expressing it through the music. As far as Sinners go, it's kind of a wider variety of things. I cover things like conspiracy theories, or I have a song about an apocalypse, just kind of imaginative stories that I think of. And I'm like, that would be a cool concept for a song.
So one's more an emotional outlet and the other is more of an intellectual outlet.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so does the music also cater to that? So, like, I mean, obviously the lyrics have like a different quality. Mm-hmm. Is Deathcore and Sinners, is that like kind of like a purposeful thing where it's like, intellectual stuff kind of requires more of yelling?
I think it definitely has its part to play in it. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon thing to find in the genre, that intellectual basis for song ideas and concepts.
And so I know you're also producing music. I mean, you're producing your own.
Yeah.
You're helping me with mine.
Yeah.
Guys, this is my producer. He's pretty awesome. But so you're producing your own music. And do you have any other bands that you're working with?
Not necessarily bands that I'm working with. I've picked up projects just on the fly here and there. But I do have other artists that I work with. As far as like Sinners goes, I have quite a few guest vocalists that are recorded on tracks. And when the album's released for Sinners, they'll be featured and things like that. So,
right. So, so we're kind of unknown artists in our field of where we're trying to create art.
Yeah.
So what is kind of a day-to-day like for you? How much time do you get to spend on your art?
Not enough.
That's my same answer.
It sucks because you get kind of sucked into a loophole where you spend so much time doing something, and at the end of it, you realize what time it is, and you know, I have to get up in the morning for work or whatever it is, and I don't feel like I got enough done. Mm-hmm. But typically, I get off work and I generally spend a good majority of the night hours just messing around with the music. Mm-hmm. So I think I did the math on Gardens of Eden's album, and I think I spent somewhere around 250 hours just messing with things, tweaking with things, making sure metadata is, you know, clean and correct. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Right. And it's unfortunate that there's so little time in a day.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I just had a podcast. My last podcast that I did with Ro Malaga, he said something. Everyone's got the same 20. You have the same 24. what was it? It was, you have the same 24 hours as Beyonce or something like that. There was some quote like that, right?
I like that.
And although that's true, yeah, we all have the same 24 hours time-wise. We don't have the same 24 hours on what we can choose to do.
Yeah.
Whereas, I've got a family, I've got a job, and that leaves me little time to work on my stuff as well.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know if Beyonce ever had to put up with that.
No, probably not.
Maybe she has a family. I don't know. I don't follow pop artists, so I have no idea. But when I think of the metal artists, most of them, like, that I listened to, they made it, like, you know, in their early mid-20s, you know, when they had literally nothing else to do, and somehow they had some cash to afford, you know, recording their music.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and that's another obstacle there too, is like the thing that I'm finding out more is that you need money.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to be able to pay people to do stuff. And that is where, you know, that job comes in, and that sucks up time. And then, like you were saying, it's kind of a loop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's clockwork every day. You go and handle what you have to make sure that everything else can kind of fall into place as best as you can. You just kind of funnel as much time as you can until you realize, that's enough for the day. Mm-hmm. You should probably put it down.
So you did have some successes recently in the fact that you have completed an album for Sinners and an album for Gardens of Eden.
Yeah.
So I've never done that for any of my stuff yet. I haven't even completed anything. So, how are you able to, with the little time that you have, like, how are you able to push that through?
It's definitely had its trials and errors, and it's definitely has been difficult. But I guess there's just like a kind of a drive in the back of my head that says that there's nothing bad that can come from pushing myself a little bit more on this and working on this a little bit extra. And that's something that I do push myself a lot, but I also try to, allot appropriate time for it as well, because I've noticed that, if you do push too much, like way too much, you're just constantly at it all the time and you're not doing anything else, then the actual craft suffers on its own. Hmm. You have to be able to have that good balance in between, I'm working on this and I'm playing on something else. And I think it's just a drive thing that's pushed me. Maybe not just drive either. I just enjoy it a whole bunch, and it's kind of like a good safe space. Mm-hmm. Where I can put these goals on what I want to do for this song and then come back to it later if I feel like it's done and I want fresh ears on it.
Right.
And I think the enjoyment still has to be there too. Because mm-hmm. if you just burn yourself out on doing it, it's not going to be fun anymore, and then you
Right.
Go do something else. I don't want to be here in this, you know?
I mean, I've burnt myself out on many projects before, and unfortunately, it's resulted in me not wanting to do anything that involves those skills anymore.
Yeah.
So, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking with my brother, Sean Meeks, and about his projects. And when we get back, we're just going to go a bit more into the difficulties of where we're at artistically.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. Art. We're here with my brother, Sean Meeks. We've talked about some of his projects, and now we're going to kind of go into some of the difficulties that, that we're facing. A lot of my guests, I ask them about the difficulties they've faced.
Yeah.
But you and I are kind of in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
And so, we'll go into that. But first, you had something that you wanted to add to what we were talking about.
Just because you had mentioned that, you know, starting a project doesn't always come to fruition, doesn't always find finality. Mm-hmm. And I have struggled with that a lot as well. I have a process now where I'll sit down and I'll work on something and I'll get base, just skeleton of what a song should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that. And once I have a couple of songs, I'll pick one and I'll just make sure that I stick to that one. And sometimes that I'll find similarities in the songs and mm-hmm. that'll help me eliminate parts that are like, well, this is the same part, but a different octave. And I don't want to repeat the same guitar riff or, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. And, it opens up better ideas where I can take scraps from one song and I can use those for different songs. So I have a whole folder on my computer that's just filled with guitar scraps or vocal takes, weird effects that I've made, things like that.
Yeah. So. I don't quite have that process, but I do have a phone full of vocal and guitar notes. and I'm finding that lately I'm able to write music faster than I have before because over the last year or so, I've started to understand a lot more about structure, even though like I had a pretty good handle on it, but lately it's just been like, it's been a lot easier. But when it comes to lyrics, I have to wait for that inspiration. And, I actually watched a thing on YouTube today where Paul Simon was talking about how he wrote music.
Okay.
And it was specifically about Bridge Over Troubled Water. And he said it usually takes, I guess Paul Simon usually takes a long time to write music too.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if he specifically said lyrics, but I mean, that's where I get stuck. Like I usually have some feeling, but I'm not sure exactly how I want to put it into words. But Paul Simon said, but with Bridge Over Troubled Water, it was not there 1 minute and
that's
the next minute it was there.
Thing. That's
right?
That happens so much,
right.
too. It's crazy.
And then, sometimes you'll be, like, working on a song for months, maybe years.
Yeah.
And then you'll write a different song, in 10 minutes. And you're like, what?
Yep.
And you still want to write that other one.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what are some of the struggles that you're seeing in your... In moving your art forward?
So mine might be a little different from a lot of other people just because considering the fact that I am solo for Sinners and it's just me and the guitarist for Gardens of Eden, Levi, and might be a little bit different because we only have so much that we can do mm-hmm. as far as the two of us or me, myself. I would say that probably one of my biggest... Now, there's probably two of them that come right to mind. And one is just finding good publicity, finding that good outlet that I can get heard from, get heard by. That's very difficult. And I've noticed it with not even just those two projects, like other things that I've released. And I've tried tons of different methods, and some of them seem to work a little bit, but I don't know for sure because the other thing is, I mean, it's kind of crippling sometimes when you're spending so much time on something, hours, and it's your only spare time in the day, and you're just trying to put everything that you can into it, you know, and it kind of falls into the same thing as what I was just saying, is that's probably one of the scariest things for me, is spending so much time on all of this work.
Right.
And then, is anyone going to like it? Or even worse, is anyone going to hear it?
Right.
You know? So I think those are probably the two biggest roadblocks that I've just been not sure of how to get past them. I've dabbled with a couple of different things that, like I said earlier, they seem to kind of gain some tread, but don't really like take flight.
Yeah. Sometimes it just feels like you're spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
And nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And that's the most frustrating part.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes I wonder, like, is it a proximity thing? I mean, we live in Utah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the same thing happened with, you know, with my film degree. You know, I got a degree in film and media arts, and it was animation emphasis. Then I went back for a second degree for painting and drawing because I wanted to kind of make my animations, you know, more artistic because, you know, I just wasn't that good. And so I definitely gained some skill there. But afterward, I just couldn't find a job. Like I looked out of the state a lot too. And, you know, I didn't get an internship, and, so maybe I just wasn't that good in the first place, but
well, I don't think,
and that's possible.
I don't think you can say that either because, you can do things that I can't do.
Right.
You can do tons of things that I can't do.
Well, we all have our strengths.
Yeah. But there's also, I wouldn't say that it's something along the lines as you aren't good at it or anything like that. Cause I do a lot of, I went to college for what I do with recording and stuff. I did the two semesters, and, my funding got cut and I didn't want it to go to waste. So I downloaded the first free, DAW that I could, started playing with stuff and doing music covers. And, I don't think that I produce bad music or bad sounding quality or anything like that.
I think it's really high quality.
But I definitely feel like there's room for improvement.
Right.
But I don't have the, like, I guess behind the scenes
resources
to just get kind of nudged into the right direction.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at, is like I love being in Utah. It's a great place to live. My family's here.
Yeah.
And we have so much stability here. I mean, again, we're not like well off, but we're at least stable. And if I were just to up and move to LA, like, is it because I'm not willing to take that risk? You know, I mean, I guess there's like thousands of people that do that and still don't make it too. And so would that even make a difference? And so I often wonder about that. Is it my proximity to where the industry is that maybe what's holding me back?
I'm sure that there's some kind of influence from that.
And then I always think, you know, the money issue. I mean, I've talked with a lot of artists on here and I haven't actually brought up money. Usually I just ask them about, like, you know, like, how did they get through all this, those tough times, right? Because there are tough times. And I guess actually with one of them, with Heather Olson, we talked about, because she, you know, she had to often choose, well, do I eat today or do I buy more art supplies, right? You know? And so I guess I did talk about it with her, but I don't know. It's just becoming more and more apparent to me that I can't do all this by myself.
Yeah,
I'm not good enough at recording myself and mixing it. I mean, I probably could become that, but again, that's time away from my family, time away from a job.
Yeah.
all that stuff. And so if I can't like figure that out in like a few months, then I'm probably not going to be able to add that to my schedule. What are some of the, because you actually do a good job by yourself, which is pretty incredible. And so what are some of the things that you wish you had more financial backing for?
If I could take some financial backing for anything and put it to use immediately, I know exactly what I would do with it. It would be studio space.
Yeah, space to...
Having space to record people outside of my home, because that's... I only let people that I trust in there, and I'm not going to invite whole bands to come into my musical equipment room. And, you know, I would love to have space. So having that financial backing would be probably my go-to.
Yeah.
But I would say a good runner up would be, coaching, hiring a professional audio engineer to coach, at my side to tell me, there's probably things that I do that are frowned upon, and there's probably things that I do that they never thought of.
Yeah. So, your job that brings you income is not music.
No.
It's a very blue collar thing. And then that just makes me think about in Utah, like where are studios that you could get a job doing that stuff that would give you what you need? And I can't think of anything.
Yeah. I mean, I know of a couple of studios, absolutely. But it's very...
I mean, there probably are some, and I'm just ignorant about them. I think Peter Breinholt told me about one that was down in Provo. But, I mean, there used to be LA East Studios, but that's gone now.
I don't know if I know of that one. There used to be, so, studio that I recorded an old band, I didn't record, sorry, a studio that an old band of mine recorded through was called High Times, or maybe it was High Vibes, something along those lines. And it was very small, but they did focus solely on, like, metalcore and things along those lines, so that's why we went there. And I actually mentioned something along those lines to them about, you know, what would having someone come work for you guys look like? Like, how would someone get their foot in the door for that? And it's...
Well, and I bet they're a smaller company though, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in like LA, I'm sure they have studios that are bigger and are looking for interns and or you know, apprentices or whatever that they could come and learn that. But I just don't see that in Utah.
It's very far and few.
Yeah.
Because when I brought it up to them, it was very, well, we don't really have space.
Right.
It's like, okay. Well, which could be a number of things, honestly. But I think getting your foot in the door, you have to expect to not make any money for a while. And
at this stage in our lives,
we can't. Yeah.
Yeah. We can't do that. We both have families that depend on us.
Exactly.
And that's the frustrating thing of getting a late start is how I like to refer to it. I'm a late bloomer here.
I feel that.
And that's a frustrating thing. And I wonder if I often wonder if other places are similar that aren't close to New York and they aren't close to LA. We're just sandwiched here in the middle of the United States, but we have creativity and we're trying to do this. I mean, there are people here that do make it. Like, I talked with, Kurt Bester. I mean, he's still doing tons. He's not, producing, but he's, composing. Tons. I mean, that's all he's done for his career. And it just boggles my mind. Like where are those, like, is it connections that I need to find, you know, what is this stuff?
I feel like it's a lot to do with networking. Mm-hmm. That was actually my original goal. I originally, when I went and took those two semesters for, studio design and music theory and...
Right, is to get in an atmosphere where you can connect with people, yeah. Right?
And my original goal, because a lot of people told me, that's a terrible degree, don't do it. And I was like, well, I mean, that's literally the only thing I can think of that I have interest in. I don't want to be a mathematician, you know? So I ended up doing it. And my original game plan was, if I get good at this, I could do like Hollywood scores. Mm-hmm. If I get the right connections, if I can network myself mm-hmm. to the right people, and, you know, who knows, maybe write scores for the next Batman, or, you know.
That would be cool.
It would be cool. Mm-hmm.
I actually had the same thought when I went to college. we're from the same family.
Yeah.
But no, when I went to Snow College before I left on my mission, I went down there and, I was doing all the generals, but I was also in two choirs and a jazz band. And I'm like, this is all I want to do is music.
Yeah.
and then when I got back, I kind of convinced myself not to do it.
Yeah.
And then I went into another artistic thing, which is even harder to, I don't know if maybe it's even harder, but it's like film. And then we live in Utah. I mean, it just didn't make sense. But at the same time, like, I was just told you need to get a college education. You know, yeah. That's what our grandpa told us. Mm-hmm. Go get an education. He didn't say what kind of education. But, no. And I'm not saying that I regret getting an artistic education.
Yeah.
It's just that, I don't think I understood how much proximity to these industries was going to affect what I was able to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I kind of figured that eventually maybe I might move out there and, you know, if I got an internship or a job, but
yeah.
But that was around that 2008. I think I graduated in 2011. So it wasn't 2008, but it was still
about the same kind of time frame.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I think that that's kind of one of the biggest kicks to the teeth that I hear. And it's not bad advice necessarily. Like it's kind of along the same lines as go get a job. And it's like, mm-hmm. I have a job. My job sucks.
I mean, the job that it gives me money, I don't care too much for.
Yeah.
The job that I'm trying to do... for some reason it's not working and I don't know why.
But it's like, it's one of those things that a lot of people say, and I feel like it's done with the best interests, mm-hmm. but it's also, it's a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. You're kind of hindering someone's capability to be as creative as they can be.
Right.
And
so how can we fit in the networking stuff and the producing the music stuff in the little time that we have? I mean, social media is a helpful thing, but not as much as it used to be.
It's to an extent, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a large paywall behind almost every social media, is what it seems like. I'd like to believe that going out and playing shows and just being awesome is good enough.
Right.
But it's just not how it is nowadays. And it's almost like there's like a secret code to put into something to, you know.
We don't have the Konami code for making a music career happen.
Yeah.
Where's that Konami code?
Yeah, send it in the chat.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now our solution is just keep chipping away at it.
Yeah, chip away, collaborate. Mm-hmm. Collaboration, word of mouth has been a tried and true method for a long time, and I feel like that's kind of going to be the best shot, mm-hmm. is just getting word out to people who you know are going to care about it. So.
Okay. All right. So, Sean, my brother, where can people find your stuff?
So we are on everything. And I mean, we, when I say we, I mean Sinners, Gardens of Eden, and my lo-fi hip-hop is under the name Shenonymous. It's kind of a...
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of a mouthful, but it's got the Guy Fawkes mask, so you'll know it when you see it. But Gardens of Eden is on all of the streaming platforms, Apple Music, iTunes, mm-hmm. whatever it is now. There's tons of them. Spotify. We even have, like, our distributors make a YouTube channel for us. And Sinners goes through the same distributor, so mm-hmm. we're on all of it.
All right. Well, if you haven't already, make sure that you go and check out Sinners, Gardens of Eden, and Shenonymous music, wherever you can find it. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's been great having my brother Sean on. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome.
It's been great.
This has been another episode of The Path of Art, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you for listening to The Path of Art. If you or someone you know is creative and would like to tell your story, reach out to me at rmeeks@ksl.com. I might feature you on the show. If you liked our conversation, please make sure you follow the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. It really does help people to discover the show. Also, make sure you follow The Path of Art podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.